So over the years, I've really enjoyed having conversations with God's people and people out and about in the community. And over the years, I've started to lump these into this category with the heading, which is noted for you on the screens up front. Along the way, this is what happened. Maybe some of you have had some of those situations this past week on your route from point A to point B. Something happens, something unexpected, something unplanned, but the result was still the same. It left a mark on your heart and on your mind and maybe on your week. For example, it goes something like this. Along the way to the store, I was driving along, and all of a sudden this person came racing past me, and it almost forced me off the road. And would you believe on the back of the car, there was a little sticker, and it was a Jesus fish. Pastor, I wasn't quite sure what to do with that one. But along the way, this is what happened. Or it happens like this. Pastor, along the way to school, I'm getting ready, and I'm trying to pull my life together. I'm getting my homework in my backpack, and all of a sudden I realize that one of my siblings grabbed the homework that I needed to bring to school, and I got there, and would you believe that the teacher didn't believe me when I said, my sibling took it. There's a possibility they ate it, because they're still filling out different foods. Along the way, this is what happened. I love this one. Along the way to run some errands, I was engaged by somebody, and they noticed the t-shirt that I was wearing, and it had a Bible verse on it. And I didn't know this was going to happen, but before I knew it, we found ourselves in this conversation about Jesus Christ. And this person shared with me that they weren't really sure where they're at with Jesus, but they were really intrigued by what I had to say. Pastor, I didn't know that along the way, this is what would happen. Isn't it interesting the way that certain things get dropped into our life in the midst of what we would consider maybe otherwise everyday and ordinary moments? This past week, I was reintroduced to a work of art, and I've shared this with some of you before, but my wife, Kara, and I, we love to take in art, whether we're in a city, in a local art museum, or maybe local here in Fort Wayne, or even just perusing through various resources, but we love to take in art. Next slide, there we go. One of the works of art that we were reintroduced as of late was a piece of art by Peruvian artist Diego Quispo Tito. Kind of rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it? And here's what he was led to do. Around his time, there was a lot of art that was being put out, but he wasn't comfortable with the message that he was sending, particularly when some of that art and some of the correspondence and some of the story, if you will, couched around it and framed around it, had to do with signs of the zodiac and things that just clashed with the Christian faith. So here's what he did. For every sign of the zodiac work that was put out there by some of his contemporaries, he did a painting and a drawing that countered it. And he countered it by pointing his context and his community to Jesus Christ. So for example, with Pisces, fish, he decides to pull from the gospel lesson we heard this morning, which is also recorded for us in the other gospel accounts, of Jesus stepping to what would be otherwise considered ordinary everyday life. People just on their way to do something else, but then all of a sudden something happens they didn't expect. Tito decides to take from this gospel of St. Matthew and to paint for you and for me what God is in the business of doing. Stepping into your and my otherwise ordinary everyday moments with transformative, life-changing work and ministry focused on Jesus Christ for you and for me. So here's what he does. He takes this scene and he spreads it out across his canvas and he starts to drop in various elements of life. And I know some of the pictures hard to see this morning, but let me describe it for you. On the left-hand side, you have a bunch of people off doing market stuff. And maybe you know that. Maybe today you're thinking, okay, I got to stop at Kroger's, I got to go to Meijer's, I need to hit up Walmart. We know this. But off to the top, in the right-hand side, you have people sailing, and you have people fishing. In the bottom right-hand corner, you see the disciples busy at their fisherman duty. But along the way, So over the years, I've really enjoyed having conversations with God's people and people out and about in the community. And over the years, I've started to lump these into this category with the heading, which is noted for you on the screens up front. Along the way, this is what happened. Maybe some of you have had some of those situations this past week on your route from point A to point B. Something happens, something unexpected, something unplanned, but the result was still the same. It left a mark on your heart and on your mind and maybe on your week. For example, it goes something like this. Along the way to the store, I was driving along, and all of a sudden this person came racing past me and it almost forced me off the road. And would you believe on the back of the car, there was a little sticker, and it was a Jesus fish. Pastor, I wasn't quite sure what to do with that one. But along the way, this is what happened. Or it happens like this. Pastor, along the way to school, I'm getting ready, and I'm trying to pull my life together. I'm getting my homework in my backpack, and all of a sudden I realize that one of my siblings grabbed the homework that I needed to bring to school, and I got there, and would you believe that the teacher didn't believe me when I said, my sibling took it. There's a possibility they ate it, because they're still filling out different foods. Along the way, this is what happened. I love this one. Along the way to run some errands, I was engaged by somebody, and they noticed the t-shirt that I was wearing, and it had a Bible verse on it. And I didn't know this was going to happen, but before I knew it, we found ourselves in this conversation about Jesus Christ. And this person shared with me that they weren't really sure where they're at with Jesus, but they were really intrigued by what I had to say. Pastor, I didn't know that along the way, this is what would happen. Isn't it interesting the way that certain things get dropped into our life in the midst of what we would consider maybe otherwise everyday and ordinary moments? This past week, I was reintroduced to a work of art, and I've shared this with some of you before, but my wife, Kara, and I, we love to take in art, whether we're in a city, in a local art museum, or maybe local here in Fort Wayne, or even just perusing through various resources, but we love to take in art. Next slide, there we go. One of the works of art that we were reintroduced as of late was a piece of art by Peruvian artist Diego Quispo Tito. Kind of rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it? And here's what he was led to do. Around his time, there was a lot of art that was being put out, but he wasn't comfortable with the message that he was sending. Particularly when some of that art and some of the correspondence and some of the story, if you will, couched around it and framed around it, had to do with signs of the zodiac and things that just clashed with the Christian faith. So here's what he did. For every sign of the zodiac work that was put out there by some of his contemporaries, he did a painting and a drawing that countered it. And he countered it by pointing his context and his community to Jesus Christ. So, for example, with Pisces, fish, he decides to pull from the gospel lesson we heard this morning, which is also recorded for us in the other gospel accounts, of Jesus stepping to what would be otherwise considered ordinary everyday life. People just on their way to do something else, but then all of a sudden something happens they didn't expect. Tito decides to take from this gospel of St. Matthew and to paint for you and for me what God is in the business of doing. Stepping into your and my otherwise ordinary everyday moments with transformative, life-changing work and ministry focused on Jesus Christ for you and for me. So here's what he does. He takes this scene and he spreads it out across his canvas and he starts to drop in various elements of life. And I know some of the pictures hard to see this morning, but let me describe it for you. On the left-hand side, you have a bunch of people off doing market stuff. And maybe you know that. Maybe it's that you're thinking, okay, I got to stop at Kroger's, I got to go to Meijer's, I need to hit up Walmart. We know this. But off to the top, in the right-hand side, you have people sailing, and you have people fishing. In the bottom right-hand corner, you see the disciples busy at their fisherman duty. But along the way, something happens that changes their lives forever. Somebody engages their lives in the midst of the same old, otherwise considered ordinary, with the result that their lives are forever changed. So what Tito wants his context and his community to take away from this is exactly this. That in the midst of those otherwise write-off everyday moments, Jesus Christ is seeking to enter into your life with the result that your life is changed forever. If we go back one slide, please. One more. Here's what we find. That's my son. We like to talk back and forth, and we haven't quite drilled in on kind of where those times are supposed to happen, where or not. But he likes to make a joyful noise too. So I mean, what can I say? In the midst of daily life, here's what we know. Jesus Christ has a word for your life. And I recognize that sometimes, as followers of Jesus, or those who maybe aren't quite there yet, we struggle and we wrestle with, is it my season or not to receive a word of God? So in other words, I feel like things are going really well, so maybe this word is meant for somebody else. But maybe, just maybe, you're in that season of life where things are kind of topsy-turvy, and maybe, just maybe, God's got your attention this morning. This morning, I want to challenge you, and I wonder if you resonate with the gospel account we're about to read. Because I wonder what would happen in the lives of the disciples if it played out, not as we heard it this morning from God's word, but maybe just maybe from more of a contemporary version, maybe a version that you and I know really, really well. Next slide, please. What if it was more something like this? Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Then Peter responded, "Just a minute, Lord. Let me go ahead and drag these nets back onto the shore before we go. We'll fold up the nets, and I'll get a small boy to carry them back to my house. I'll also make sure to," he tells my family, "where we're headed. Do you know when we might be back? I don't want to be too late for supper, or my wife will worry. But don't worry, though. This will just take a moment or two, and then we can get on our way." Next slide. So Jesus folded his hands together, politely smiled, and said, "No problem, I understand." Then Jesus, afraid he may have inconvenienced Peter, said, "Oh, and I hope this isn't too much of a bother. I feel really bad for asking you to bring your nets back in after you just threw them out. Would it be better for you if I just came back tomorrow? Or maybe we could find a time when you're not too busy with fishing." I see we laugh because that's kind of ridiculous, right? I mean, that's not anywhere in the Gospels, to be clear, in case you missed that part before. This is not recorded in the Gospels. But I wonder if we laugh and we smile and we're a little at ease this morning because maybe this is how we feel it would have played out in our lives. The reality is just this. That God's word and God's call in your life and in my life never comes at an opportune time. And you don't have to nod in agreement with that, but I wonder if you're nodding in your heart and in your mind. So oftentimes we find that God comes to us in a moment not of our choosing, but of his own. A time when he expects us to follow in faith with the result that people know him through you and through me. But perhaps as we discovered with the opening portion of our service, God calls us to let go, and what do? We hold on. And God says, "Hold on," and what do? We let go. Next slide, please. Here's what we hear. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. I want to challenge you once again to really zone in and focus in on verse 20 this morning. Because sometimes this is just not my life, and maybe it's not yours. That when Jesus says, come follow me, I say, wait just a minute. Jesus says, let's go over here. I have a task for you to do today, and I say, just a minute. Jesus says, I want you to let go of this because it's toxic to you and those around you. And I say, just a minute, I need to hold on. Because if I hold on to it, then I feel like I can control it. But in those moments where Jesus says, hold on, because I have what you need, I do this. I open my hand, I push away, and I let go. And I wonder this morning if God's people relate to that. See, sometimes I think we get into this mindset of that it's got to be a really big, large, epic scale, earth-shattering, follow me moment. But I have to wonder for you and for me if daily life more looks like this. Let go of the anger and follow me. Let go of the desire to let pride lead the course. Follow me. Ask your classmate if you can pray for them in the midst of their struggle, and then come back and follow me. Show your spouse forgiveness and grace, even as uncomfortable as it is, and come follow me. Open your heart to what I'm about to do in your relationship, and then come follow me. Join me for worship, to hear my word for you, receive my sacrament for you, and follow me. See, in my life, it is so oftentimes the case where there is not an immediate reaction. And I wonder if that's the case for you as well. Jesus says, come, and I say, wait. Jesus says, go, and I wait. Jesus says, hold on, and I let go. Jesus says, let go, and I hold on, in case you missed it. Jesus says, hold on, and I let go. And I wonder where that's for you. See, here's what I know in my own life. The longer I hold on to something that Christ has asked me to let go of, truth be told, I suffer. Because I pore over it, I lose sleep over it, I stress over it, I eat too much Little Debbie. It doesn't help, they put it right on the end caps. And I fall into what I call a flat tire season of life, where maybe three quarters of the rotation is good, but then all of a sudden, thump, feeling great, thump. And in those moments, I shouldn't be surprised then when what I give is very less than what I could have. Do you resonate with that? Is it possible there is something in your life today that Jesus is saying, leave it here? But it almost feels like people have to pry your cold, dead fingers off of it first. I wonder if Jesus is inviting you to hold on to him and his word when it feels like you're stuck on the end of a merry-go-round and it continues to speed up and you feel your grip slipping. I wonder if God's people resonate. We know that Jesus is operating along the landscape of life and ministry, particularly in this area where Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John are operating. We know there's a familiarity of Jesus Christ, but know this and know it well. When Jesus Christ has come, here's what his word has the authority to do. It allows you to let go of the net and to walk where he's walking. And when Jesus Christ says, come, you're able to do it. Next slide, please. This morning, my question for you is this. What's the net you've been holding on to and dragging? Where do you find yourself tired and fatigued and worn out from carrying something that God has not asked you to carry? And more, where is that area that Christ is calling you to follow, but you're scared? See, let's be honest with each other this morning. Sometimes we're fearful, right? Because if we let go, that means we have no control. And if we have no control, that means somebody else gets to determine the outcome. For Simon Peter, for Andrew, for James and John, letting go translated into a lifelong, lasting relationship with Jesus Christ, but not because of who they were, but because of who Jesus Christ is for them and also for you. Next slide, please. Next slide. There we go. You ever taken a moment to watch somebody at a pottery wheel? Maybe some of you are pottery wheel aficionados. Maybe some of you have gone to one of these local hot spots where you get to go with a friend and you get to make a social setting of it, and you maybe walk out with more clay on your body than you actually made the object, whatever it is. Maybe you're familiar with this. But if you've really watched someone who's really good at this, you know this is what they do. They'll take the clay and they'll start to put it together. And by the way, it works best when it's in your hands, because it's when it's alone and it's on that wheel, it just, chaos wheel, right? We know chaos wheels. But as long as it's in the person's hand, it's shaped and it's molded to be exactly what it's supposed to be and for a purpose. So isn't it interesting when someone who's really good at this can spend all that time at the wheel with the clay and having it so intimately stuck in their skin, their pores, the folds, the fingernails, how they can take that object and then throw it on the ground and smash it to pieces. And then they can go up to the pieces like this and they can start to pick through them and put them back together again. And they do that to take out the imperfections. To take out the little pebbles, the little pieces, the little stones, the little fractions of whatever that aren't supposed to be there. And it's remolded and it's shaped. But here's the thing. It's only good as long as it's in the master's hands. Outside the artist's hands, outside those hands that know and shape and mold with intent and purpose, it quickly spins out of control and it goes into pieces and it goes all over the place. Maybe that's been your life this past week. Maybe it feels like your life has been on one of these pottery wheels and boy, life has just been spinning you out of control. And you've been having a difficult time holding on. Or maybe the things you've been holding on to are things you're not supposed to be holding on to. And maybe the things you've been holding on to, well, they're just not working. Or maybe, just maybe, you're making it worse. This morning, I want to challenge you once again to hear the word of God for you in Jesus Christ, to hear God's call for you to follow him, to remain in his hands alone, to stop subscribing to would-be sculptors and artists and would-be saviors and messiahs in your life and in my life, and to remain intimately connected to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's what we hear in the book of Ephesians. Next slide, please. We hear this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John had no idea the ways in which their lives would change forever the day Jesus Christ met them on that shoreline and said, "Follow me." Today, you and I have no idea what's around the corner. You have no idea what's waiting for you at home today. You have no idea what's waiting for you at work tomorrow or in school. You have no idea what's waiting around the bend, but our Lord does. You may not know the purpose etched out for your life, but God does. God's not concerned with your bumps or your bruises to the extent that they would push him away from you. God's not upset about the baggage you and I accumulate to the point that he would keep him away from you. But here's what God desires to do in your life and in my life today. God desires to pull you close, to have your ears so close to his heart you can hear his heartbeat, and to know without a shadow of doubt that God desires to keep you close to his scar-filled hands so that you can understand the purpose for your life, whether you're a husband or a wife, son or daughter, father, mother, coworker, classmate, neighbor, and that whatever those bumps and challenges might be, that you would know that he seeks to mend those out in your life and in my life. Wherever God's calling you today, if it's time to let go, let go. But if it's time to hold on, then hold on with the grace he provides. Let's pray. Gracious God, we know that your word continues to come to us and find us where we're at. And I'm not sure the season of life that this word finds us in today, but you do. You know those areas, those bumps, those bruises, those pebbles that need to be worked out. And so we pray that you would. But we also pray today, in order to fully and faithfully follow you, if we need to let go of something, help us to let go. If we need to hold on, may it be to you and to your word. In the midst of life, when you challenge us and call out to us to follow, whether it's in the midst of an interpersonal interaction, a conversation, a working through of our thought process, or maybe something physical that has to be done, may it all be done to the glory of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.